great to be with you this morning. It's good to be here together to worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And again, I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online this morning. We appreciate you being with us. I am grateful to be back with you. We had a great last weekend with the kids, the grandkids. I appreciate Dale and Brian filling in for us. As I was telling Dale and Wesley this morning, y'all are stuck with us for at least until March. We don't have any plans to go anywhere back down until then. So it was great to be with them for the holiday, but it's always good to be back home. We begin a new series of lessons this morning that I'm just naming He Is Coming Back. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Before we do that, it's a new year. There are some things, however, that are still the same as last year, and that part of that is the COVID-19 that we are still dealing with. So just a reminder to everyone, we are going to continue, as we have, worshiping together both online and in person, those who be here. But a couple of things to remind you about as we do gather: social distancing. Please keep that in mind. Spread out and keep that distance. Also, we do ask that everyone wear a mask, okay? So please, again, keep that in mind. We don't want anyone to be getting sick from this. Also, we are still in the no passing zone. So as we did this morning, those of you who are with us the first time, we're doing the communion in the individual bags. Again, we're not passing anything around. Communion for that, and also for the contribution back in the back. And then finally, we give air hugs. Okay, not bear hugs, but air hugs. So keep that in mind. Elbow bumps are okay. Just don't bump elbows in the same elbow that you cough into. Okay? So just a reminder to us, is something we want to always keep in front of us so that we're trying to be safe for everyone. All right? As Wesley talked about, when it comes to our contributions, you can pay those, make those payments by PayPal if you would like, at edgehillpaypal@gmail.com, or you can send your contribution in by snail mail. We'll take it either way. We appreciate the generosity that everyone has been given us throughout the year. We were able to keep our budget and then some last year. Everybody has been very generous, and we thank you for that. Even though there's a lot of things like the fellowship meals and things of that nature we're not able to do right now, there's still a lot of other things that we do that we need to continue to do, and providing for people's needs and things of that nature. So we appreciate everyone's contributions to that. Okay, at the end of last year, as we were bringing things up to the Christmas holiday, we looked at a series of lessons called He Is Coming. And all of that was focused on the prophecies from the Old Testament that had to do with the coming of the Messiah. And so we were looking at that, a lot of different aspects of the prophecies that had to do with Jesus coming here to this earth the first time, okay? We saw in that, and part of the many of the prophecies had to do, we saw the reconciliation, the prophecies concerning the reconciliation that God spoke to the serpent there in the Garden of Eden. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise His heel. The very first prophecy that God would provide a means for reconciliation to Him and His creation. We talked about also the prophecies and the promises that God had made to Abraham of salvation, that through Abraham all peoples on the earth would be blessed. We also realized and saw how the people of Jesus' day were looking for, they were longing for the Messiah to come. They were looking and had these great expectations of what this Messiah was going to do, what was going to be accomplished, what would He look like. And we saw those prophecies talked about Him being a prophet, and being a priest in the order of Melchizedek and being a king and sitting on David's throne and all of those expectations that people had of this Messiah as they waited for him. The prophecies also talked about when he would come and where he would come from. Remember, we talked about Bethlehem, that little town, say, that the Messiah would be born in. We talked about what would happen to the Messiah when he did come. The fact that Isaiah prophesied that he would be pierced for our transgressions. He would die in our place. As we talked about just a little bit ago, as Wesley shared with us, the thing that we remember on the first day of every week, that's why he came, so that he could die for our sins in our place. And the prophets talked about all of those things. They also talked about the fact that he will come again. Remember, we looked at this prophecy from Daniel, where Daniel talked about the fact that not only would that Messiah come the first time, but he looked way, way into the future to the fact that that Messiah was going to come again in his glory, referring to the second coming of Christ. And so that brings us then through that study to this study that he is coming back. And that's what I want us to focus on as we go from here, to prepare us for what's going to take place. This study has to do with the end time prophecies, or what are referred to as the second coming of Christ or end time prophecies. And notice the similarities between these prophecies, okay, that we'll study in the New Testament primarily, and those that we've already studied in the Old Testament concerning the first coming of the Messiah. Notice that they speak of the promises that await us who are looking for the Lord to return. They talk about the signs to look for. What are the things that we should look for to see that the Lord indeed is coming back? And then there's that anticipation. Just like it was in the days of Jesus, those who were anticipating with all eagerness the coming of that Messiah, that we too are eager and waiting for him to come back again. The prophecies that we're going to be looking at primarily tell us two things. Number one, what his coming is going to look like. And secondly, what is going to happen when he does come? Right? We're going to be looking at those things to see what is it telling us about the fact that he is coming back. Right? What's that coming going to look like, and what's going to happen when it occurs? So this morning, in this first lesson, we're talking about signs of the end, and this is part one. All right? We are looking in the text that Holloway read for us this morning, Matthew chapter 24. This morning we're looking at verses 1 through 3. Okay? Next week we're going to look actually at the answers that Jesus gives to what the disciples ask in the rest of chapter 24 and also chapter 25. So this morning it's signs of the end, part 1. All right? And in these verses, what we find are three questions that are asked. We go back to the text, and here's what it tells us. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. And so there they are at the temple area, and I've seen, you know, drawings and so forth of what the temple must have looked like. And it must have been an amazing place in terms of architecture and structure and so forth. And that's what the disciples were wondering about. Okay? Their attention drawn to the magnificence of this structure, the temple. And Jesus responds to them by saying, "Do you see all of these? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now, that must have been a very curious statement for Jesus to make to the disciples. It's like they're admiring the structures, and Jesus says, "Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be a time when not one stone is going to be left on another of this place." Now, the disciples, they're not sure, though, what is Jesus talking about? So they have three questions that they ask Jesus. Okay? As they're sitting there, Jesus on the Mount of Olives, the disciples come to him privately. "Tell us," they said. Question number one, "When will this happen?" Question number two, "What will be the sign of your coming?" And question number three, "The signs of the end of the age." So those are the three questions that the disciples ask, right? In this, as they're looking at the temple and all of its surroundings and Jesus' remarks concerning what's going to happen to the temple. Let's take a look. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is going to answer their questions. And that's what we're going to look at specifically next week, okay? The answer to those three questions. But in the midst of his answer, he also gives this warning. In verse 11, he says, "Be on your guard against the false prophets." And one of the things about these passages from Matthew chapter 24 is that they are perhaps some of the most misunderstood and misrepresented of all the prophecies in the Bible. Okay? That there has been so much that has been taught about these things that just isn't so. That Jesus gave a warning back then. Watch out for the false prophets. So what we want to do is make sure as we go through and look at this, we understand truly what is Jesus saying here. And that's why I've broken this down into two lessons. There's too much to cover in one, and I want to lay this foundation this morning so that we make sure as we're looking at Jesus' answer to these three questions that we understand it correctly. Right? So that's what we're going to do. Three questions. Let's go back and take a look. And he tells us, as Jesus was sitting there on the Mount of Olives, the disciples come to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen?" All right? Well, one of the things we need to clarify is, what is this refer to? Okay, what is the this that they're asking about? Well, quite simply, it is the destruction of the temple specifically. Remember, Jesus had said not one stone is going to be left on another. And part of their concern and their question is, when is this going to happen? Well, that happened in AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem. The city and the temple, complete and utter destruction. And that's what the this is referring to in the first question that they ask. The second question, what will be the sign of your coming? Now, here's a curious thing, okay? Before Jesus has left, okay, before he has died and buried and rose again and ascended back to heaven, they're asking questions about his return. He hasn't even left yet. And someone might say, well, how did they know about all of that? I mean, they didn't even understand at this point what the nature of the kingdom was going to be about. But they did understand. Remember that prophecy we studied last time and I mentioned a few minutes ago from Daniel? That had foretold that the Messiah was going to come back again. Way back in Daniel's day, it was prophesied. we have also, we look at a couple of things that scriptures, some things that Jesus had taught his disciples, had said to them that gave them a basic understanding, if you will, of the concept that he was going to leave and then he was going to return. So they, though they didn't understand everything, they must have had a basic understanding of that concept. Otherwise, why would they have asked that second question? Right? So look at some things that Jesus had told them. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, he says, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Now, if they didn't have this basic understanding, they might say, "Well, you're already here. You're right here in front of us. Why, what do you mean you're going to come in an hour and we don't expect you? You're right here in front of us." No, they understood it meant something later. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, Jesus specifically said to them, "The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So again, from these things that Jesus has taught his disciples, they had a basic understanding that he was going to leave and then at some point in the future was going to return. So that's why they were asking him, "What will be the sign of your coming?" Okay? And then the third question, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Okay. And there they clearly understood, again, this understanding that when he came again, this was going to be the end of the age. And what's going to be the sign that that is coming? Right? How did they know about that? Well, Jesus taught a lot of things about the judgment and the end times, and two parables in particular that Jesus told. The parable of the weeds that speak of the farmer who went out and sowed his seed, and then his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat, and the workers saw that it was happening. They wanted to pull up the weeds, but he said, "No, leave them there to grow together, and at the harvest they will be separated. And the weeds will be thrown into the fire and burned." Parable of the net, the same concept. You gather up all the fish, and there's some that are keepers, as we would say today. You know, we got a keeper here and some that aren't. And you separate those that are good from those that are bad. So they understood this idea of this time of judgment that would happen at the end, where there would be a separation from those who belonged to God, those who were faithful, and those who were not. And their question, their third question, had to do with that. What will be the sign of the end of the age when these things are going to take place? Well, let's go through, and again, to prepare us to look at the actual text, let's untangle the answer that Jesus gives, because this is where a lot of people kind of, you know, get confused, and there's all kinds of things that are taught about this that, as I said before, just aren't so. It's really not that difficult to untangle the answer. Okay, so let me break it down. First of all, we've got to understand and remember that oftentimes prophecy has a dual fulfillment, okay, or dual application to it. And what that means is that when the prophecy is given, there is an immediate fulfillment, okay, or a fulfillment of that prophecy that is in, either in the immediate or in the very near future to be fulfilled. And then there is an application or a fulfillment that will happen much later down the road. And we saw that in those prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah the first time. And that's what's taking place here. As Jesus answers these three questions, we need to understand that there is dual fulfillment of these prophecies. There are the application of it isn't just to one simple event, but it is to to multiple or at least two different events. And here's the key to understanding that. These events are so similar in nature that the picture that is painted by the prophecy really is of both events. Right? So we need to understand that as we untangle Jesus' answer here. The answer that Jesus is going to give, and again, it covers all the rest of Matthew chapter 24 and then goes into chapter 25, the answer can be separated really into this particular way. All right? First of all, verses 4 through 14 speak specifically to the end of the age. The question that the disciples asked, what are the signs of the end of the age? Verses 4 through 14 speak of that. Verses 15 through 22 speak of the destruction of Jerusalem that occurred in AD 70. And then verses 23 through 31 speak specifically of the second coming of Christ. And so you have in Jesus' answer in Matthew 24, you have all three of these things being answered. But they're not answered in the way that the questions, in the order that the questions were asked. Right? But nonetheless, they are all three answered here. Right? AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem. Here's one of the things where a lot of people have kind of gotten this passage and other prophecies kind of mixed up. Because there are those who teach, even today, and we had this someone here many, many years ago that was teaching this very thing as this cartoon relaxed, it all happened in 70 AD, that believe and teach that the Lord has already returned. He came back in AD 70 at the destruction of Jerusalem, and so he's returned, it's all done. And that is, in fact, I wrote a response to that thing that in teaching a little booklet that I put together in looking at what the scriptures teach concerning all of that, and that is a false teaching. Jesus did not come back in AD 70. It has not been all of those things already taken place. First of all, if they had, why are we here? You see? If he's already come back again, there's a whole lot of what the scripture teaches that must not be so. So if you misunderstand and misapply what the scriptures teach, you can come to those kind of conclusions. And that goes back to that warning of false prophets that Jesus gave to his disciples. We need to understand that. Be aware. Okay? AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, it occurred. Right? But the Lord has not come back yet. We're still waiting for him. All right? Let's talk about some commonalities here. Okay? And you know, we look at different things and we look at different pictures, and you know, one of these things is not like the other. It's kind of stuff. What's common about all of these different things? What similar things are associated, in other words, with all three of these events? That is the destruction of Jerusalem, the second coming of the Lord. Okay? What are some of the commonalities about those and the end of the age? Well, in all of them, there is talk of those who, as we mentioned, false prophets. There are lies and deceit that are part of all of those things happening. There is persecution, in particular, persecution of Christians. Okay? There is also total destruction associated with them. And there is this concept of the idea of that it's going to happen suddenly. Okay, the suddenness of those events occurring. All of those are commonalities of all three of those events. And we'll see that as we look at how Jesus answers those three questions. All right? So for us today, the question is, what should we do. Okay? You think about the three questions that they asked. One of them, we don't really need to be that concerned about, do we? Because it's already taken place. But what about the other two? The second coming of Christ and the end of the age. Those two we still need to be concerned about. What should we do? And I think the answer I'd suggest to you right now at this point is we need to be prepared. Be prepared. You do not want either of those events happening, which, by the way, will be simultaneous events, okay? You do not want those things happening and you to not be prepared. So we need to be prepared. In Luke chapter 12, we saw this a few moments ago, when Jesus said to his disciples, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So what should we do? Be ready. You know, we talked about 2 weeks ago in lesson, we talked about all the stuff that's going on in the world, and one of the things we get worried and concerned about all this stuff happening. And if you recall, one of the things I'm trying to encourage everybody to think about is, we don't need to worry about that. God's got this, right? What we need to do is make sure, no matter what goes on in the world, that we are ready when the Lord comes back again. That's what we need to be concerned about. You see? Be ready. Be prepared, because we don't know when that event is going to happen. So be prepared, all right? Next week, as I mentioned earlier, in part two of this, we're going to look at the text concerning each one of these three questions. How does Jesus answer their concerns concerning these three events? We're going to look at the warnings that Jesus gives concerning those events. In chapter 25 of Matthew, there are two parables that directly relate to the answers that Jesus gives concerning those three questions. All right? The parable, first of all, of the 10 virgins, and then also the parable of the talents. That again, in both of those, Jesus is telling us, be ready. Be prepared. Do what you need to do, because he's coming back. All right? So, warning to us. Jesus could come back today. I've asked this question before in other lessons. I'm going to ask it again right now. How many of you got your guarantee this morning? Anybody got your guarantee? You guys got a guarantee that you're going to live through this day? Is that the guarantee you got, that you're going to make it through this day? Anybody? Anybody get that? That you're going to live through this day completely. I didn't either. Okay? And so the realization is, the reality is, none of us is guaranteed to make it through the day. None of us is promised the end of this day, let alone tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, or 2021. We're not guaranteed any of that. So we need to be ready. And that's what this whole series of lessons is going to be focused on, is trying to encourage everyone to be ready. We need to be ready. I don't want any of you to face the Lord in judgment, whether it's today or tomorrow, next year, 10 years, it doesn't matter. I don't want any of you to face the Lord unprepared, not being ready. So we're going to focus on encouraging, as we talked about this morning, all of us to be ready. All right? Tom has an invitation song that he's chosen for us to use. We offer an invitation for anyone. If you have a need that this church family can help you with, whatever it might be, all you got to do is let us know. We'll do our best to help you with that need. And for those who are not yet Christians, if you have not given your life to Christ, you have the opportunity to do that right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, today. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a need, a prayer need, or any other need that you would like for us to address, you can text either Dale or Wesley while we're singing this song, this invitation song, and let them know, and we will address your prayer request. And if there's anyone out there who's not yet a Christian that desires to become one, let one of them know, and we will address that as soon as is possible with you, so that you can be baptized into Christ and become a Christian, thus being ready for His return. Whatever your need is, we can't help you with it if we don't know what it is. So we offer this invitation, this time, this opportunity for anyone to let us know how we might be able to serve you. So, Tom, come on up and lead us. Let's stand together and sing.